Blog Talk Radio.
Sean?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some technical difficulties. Please forgive me. Let's get the show started, would you? Sorry about that, Sean Black, but ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, with the most, the King of King himself. I am the right now still alive under the Obamacare or Trumpcare. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again. Although, I think that's the first time I've ever heard the whole theme song from beginning to end.
Yeah, for some reason the button was not working on my phone and on the computer. Go figure.
Of course. Time to get yourself a new phone, my friend.
Yeah, I think it was Jesus Christ trying to stop the show again, you know, from last week.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Oh, Anisha B won't be able to do the show with us today, so does you and I. So the number to call and to tell us what you think about Trump Care, Obamacare, or whatever you care about is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Well, Sean Black, I like to say, are you ready to piss some people off? But you seem like this weekend everybody got pissed off from Thursday message of Trump Care.
Yeah, and that's going to be a prevailing theme throughout the rest of the show, I would assume.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know the news yet, well, people around the world who listen to our show, Trump Care has been approved by the Senate or Congress by four lousy votes. Imagine it. Four SFOs for law to be passed. Well, step one to be processing. There's a step two about it. But before I tell you what my thoughts about Trump Care, Sean Black, this is an hour show. I like to talk about this topic for at least 20, 25 minutes. Can let the people know what Trump Care is about?
Basically, it is the Obamacare. Basically, the sticking point that the Republicans have been talking about for the most part is, other than the fact that former President Obama was able to approve it and make it law, the Republicans have been trying to repeal Obamacare or the ACA, which a lot of people will realize, the Affordable Health Care Act. Basically, we know what has been going on in Congress, so I'm not even going to go into it too much. But what Obamacare has put on the table is basically over 20 million uninsured Americans had health insurance since it became law. It was initially hard to get. You had to go through the marketplace, which was a lot of independent insurance companies competing to give fair market price and ensure people to get health care. The problem is that a lot of insurers thought that the premiums were too high. Trump and Republicans have been trying to repeal Obamacare for the longest time. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that President Trump ran on. And the biggest stickler in this entire deal when Obamacare was first officially attacked with this repair and, repeal and replace edict was the idea of having people with pre-existing conditions. And in this revised ideal, that became anybody that had anything with a pre-existing condition, asthma, cancer, certain kinds of cancers, pregnancy, a lot of the conditions that women have had, if you were going to be pregnant, if you were already pregnant, arthritis, a lot of issues that would be looked at as pre-existing conditions. And what this particular healthcare thing does is it takes a general pool of people that are in what are called a high-risk pool and puts them in there in that particular category, and then kicks it down to the states to either approve their health care or whatever would be the case. And under House of legislation, that would add $8 billion over 5 years to allocate it for this state-run insurance pool. The problem is President Trump said he wanted to make the health care cheaper. It would actually make health care more expensive. And if you have a pre-existing condition, you could be paying as much as $142,000 over the lifetime of a year in cost, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, to prove Sean's point even more, right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the difference between Obamacare and Trump Care. Under Trump Care, the AACA allows the states to decide whether insurance carriers can charge people with pre-existing conditions more for their health care. Under Obamacare, people with pre-existing conditions cannot be denied coverage or charge higher insurance under the rates.
Exactly.
Yeah. And to go, before you carry on, I know we talk about it. If anyone saw the clip from Jimmy Kimmel talk show, on his show where he talked about this situation. Jimmy Kimmel is a talk show host in America for the people over the country. Excuse me, I'm a little bit tired under the weather because I'm sick and I can't afford to see a doctor right now. Because
I understand.
But Jimmy Kimmel talked about his son, a newborn son, and he had open heart surgery. He's a millionaire, and he was out on television, national television, crying. And if you do not cry or feel bad, I don't know, you basically don't have a heart. He went through a lot of pain. I mean, even though he's rich, he has millions of dollars, he can afford it. But imagine, like you or I, or Nietzsche B, or Kato, or any of us, we have children with these type of conditions, open heart surgery, they can't afford it.
Exactly.
You know, basically, if something happened to my son and I can't afford a surgery because of Trump Care, I might as well say goodbye to my son because I can't afford it because of pre-existing conditions.
Exactly.
So when I saw Jimmy Kimmel in his speech, I had a tear because, once again, health care is very serious in this country. Other countries, health care is okay, but they have universal health care, but of course, America has to be the difficult one. And even my job today, people keep talking about it. Like you told me yesterday, your friends are talking about it. Healthcare is something that this whole country is talking about right now. Well, carry on.
And the one thing that you look at is I watch after an elderly relative myself. So imagine if that person didn't have quality health care, there'd be a lot of problems involved there. You have two kids, and luckily you have health care for your children. If anything came up, whereas to say that, let's say one of your children had asthma or another one had, God forbid, some other disabled disorder or something along those lines, you would be screwed. And the bottom line is, as the sticking point is, we've had this discussion before where the Republicans that passed this, one, a lot of them didn't even know what they were getting into when they agreed to the bill. The only thing that they wanted to do was to get rid of the bill that Obamacare was. And as you saw after it passed by three votes on the Rose Garden lawn, the day it passed through the Senate, so I should say passed through Congress, and it has to go through the Senate now, all the Republicans that voted for it are celebrating it and talking about, oh, it's great, it's a victory. And it wasn't looked at as, well, we did this because we're going to help America. We're going to do this to get the affordable health care that you are looking for. That wasn't the tone of that whole celebration. That celebration was there because we finally got rid of the law that Obama put in place. And that was the only reason why they're all celebrating on there. They're celebrating the fact that 24 million people potentially are going to lose health care in general. That's the problem that I have with this whole thing.
And it's funny that you mentioned the Rose Garden, because I told people, if you look at that clip of the people with Donald Trump at the Rose Garden, what did they all have in common? Older white men. You didn't see no minorities. You didn't see any woman. Even though some of them probably did vote for the ad, because, you know, they had no choice to a certain degree. But it was like, it's just odd that you see older white men controlling the lives of the American people. And like,
yeah.
you want people to die early? Under the Trump care, they will have senior citizens, like your grandmother, for example, Sean Black, my mom, to pay more money for medication. And the young people who don't pay medication that much pay cheaper price. Now, is that fair?
Exactly. Now, the whole premise behind insurance has always been the younger, just in general, the way that it's worked away in this country, the younger, well, healthy people eventually pay for the elderly and the vulnerable, and that's how the insurance is taken care of. And as the younger get older and then they potentially become sicker, the younger that can pay will pay. That's usually the way insurance has worked in this country. That's not happening now, because what we're starting to see is, forget about the fact that we're not even talking about it being actual health care. The main thing that helps benefit people that voted for this bill is that the top 5% are going to get a tax cut, a tax break, because of this new law if it passes. Now, the thing is, a couple of the things that happened was that President Obama made it a mandate that everybody has insurance or you're penalized X amount of money. It required you to have health care. I believe it was $600 was the penalty. Trump care allows people not to purchase health care if they choose, but there's a financial incentive to encourage individuals to maintain, like, their health insurance. So the insurers are allowed to pay, I believe it's 30% penalty on those who buy insurance after having a gap in their coverage for longer than like 60 days or 62, some, I think it's 60 days.
Well,
it also,
go ahead.
No,
I remember the statement we talked about last time with Anitra. She was against Obamacare ad because you would get punishment if you don't get insurance, but in the long term, it would be cheaper if you pay the penalty and whatever happens. Do you think everyone should have insurance and should be penalized if they don't have insurance?
See, but here's the problem. I think what the issue was that President Obama was doing was trying to make sure that everybody has the insurance. It's more of like an incentive, because we know in this country, so many people either don't go to the doctor or they take forever to go. Outside of how hard it is to be able to get insurance, keep insurance, have a doctor, keep a doctor, the incentive behind the way the bill was done was to make sure that everybody that doesn't have insurance has the incentive to go and get insurance. So if you're one of those type of people that are, you know, you haven't been to the doctor in like 15, 20 years, and you can't afford to go to the doctor because either you're not working or something happens, this is one of those things that was taken care of with Obamacare. The other thing is that to help fund this, there were a lot of subsidies with tax credits that were supposed to take place and help keep this thing going. This Trump Care, which he doesn't want his name attached to, wants to actually replace those subsidies with a sort of tax credit. So the tax credit would range from $2,000 to $14,000 based on age, with families receiving higher credits than individuals. So the credits are actually reduced for individuals that make over a certain amount, between $75,000 for annually for individuals. And for a family that's making $150,000, then they would reduce their tax credit. So it would be even harder for them to get the help that they need. And on top of that, the actual cost of what you'd be paying every year would actually go up, mostly because now they would allow the state to get these waivers to change health benefits and put them in what they call a high-risk pool. Now, as I just explained a little bit earlier, there are 35 states that have created high-risk pools for, quote-unquote, uninsurable people. So those are people that have the sickest Americans or the ones that are at high risk of passing away or not being able to live a certain amount of time based on whatever they have. Now, the problem is when you're doing that, you make the market worse because now you're putting lots and lots of people into this high-risk pool, and there's no incentive or way for them to get out and get insurance. So it makes it even worse, and that's part of the problem. So you have now young people that are in one pool, in one insurance pool. You have healthy people in one insurance pool, and then you have the elderly, pregnant, sick, people that have pre-existing conditions, which I had lined out a little earlier, are put in this quote-unquote high-risk pool, and they will be the ones that have the worst part of trying to get insurance if this passes. This is a really dangerous thing. And what makes it worse, and I have to bring this up, Hot Rod, there is a congressman in Idaho over the weekend who was at a town hall meeting. His name is Raul Labrador. He's a Republican congressman for Idaho. He was brought up, somebody brought up a mention in this town hall meeting that you are, quote, mandating people on Medicare to accept dying. You are making a mandate that will kill people. His response was, quote, no one wants anyone to die. You know, that line is indefensible. But here's the worst part of the line is what he said. Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. That is the most asinine thing that anybody has stated in this whole entire deal, where asinine comments seem to fly at a regular rate.
So are you surprised by that statement?
No, I'm not surprised, but when I hear things like that, I get angered. And the reason why I get angered when I hear this kind of thing is because Republicans like him or politicians like him, in his situation where he is in a position of power to basically judge on the lives of millions and millions and millions of people, either impoverished, unemployed, uninsured Americans, and it's the thought process and the statements behind that that are going to get people killed, and they have this detachment from reality because they are in a position where they make money, they have health insurance, they can afford to get health insurance, and they're making millions and millions of dollars in a lot of instances, whereas other people that are in their constituency are nowhere near that bracket. And he's talking down as if he's completely oblivious to what's going on. And these are the kinds of decisions that are going to get people to die because of it.
It's funny that you said that because last year at my job, dealing with outside people. A lady had passed out. Me and my colleagues came to our aid. We did not give us CPR, but we used to people passing out because, you know, some people are diabetic, so they have no sugar, so they need something sweet or some juice, you know, to lift the sugar up, and so on and so on. So when lady passed out, normally our procedure is when someone passed out, they'll get up at a certain time. We call 911. because I am a first aid responder, I'm not an EMT guy. So it was a mother and daughter who told the daughter, we'll call 911. The lady got up and said, no, I do not want the ambulance. She was very sick. And she told her, like, why we have to call your ambulance? Because, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want my boys yelling at me. If something happened to her, we're liable for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She did not want ENT. She don't want medical attention. But the first thing she said, I don't have insurance. And, you know, her daughter's crying as hell because she's like, her mother's real sick. We don't know what's going on. They know what's going on. But the mother could not do anything about it. She could get the help she needed, but she couldn't. Why? She don't have insurance. And who I had to argue with her? If she don't want insurance, ENT, she don't want ENT, we could not call ENT for her. But, you know, we will get fired. But if they show up for no reason, my company will get fired and I will get in trouble. But in my mind, like, it's very sad how in this country there's help, but we cannot get the help. So my question to you, Sean, Mexico has it, Canada has it. Sure, to avoid all this chaos, and producer Michael asked me to ask you, should America have universal health care?
It should have been something along those lines a long time ago. And if you notice, the ultimate insult, the Prime Minister of Australia actually had a sit-down with our esteemed President Trump. And President Trump, being the person he is, actually looked to him and said, although we're not there yet, your health care is better than ours. Coming out of the president's own mouth, if you have a health care system that works out certain things the correct way, you can have universal health care across the board. The problem is, and this has been, we talked about this ad nauseum, the main problem with the whole situation is that the pharmaceutical companies are in bed with the government. And the pharmaceutical companies are basically a business. And they get tax write-offs, and they get to make profits, and they have IPOs on Wall Street, and they're making all of these billions and billions of dollars a year. And the problem is, at the worst, they don't help out the people that need the money by doing what they should be doing to make sure that people can get the medicine that they need, medication, et cetera. Health care,
okay,
complicated. But, yes, there should be universal health care because every other country that is as modern as the United States has it, except as of the United States.
All right. So we have K-Dog, another person who have pre-existing conditions in his head. K-Dog, take it away.
Man, I say this. Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Well, I'm just going to say this, is that this whole thing with the healthcare system, with the Trump care, is going to be a whole mess, and a lot of people are going to suffer from it. Because you know what? A lot of people who criticized the Affordable Care Act, but guess what? The Affordable Care Act has done a lot of good things. A lot of good things have come out of it. You know, especially with people with pre-existing health conditions, you know, they can't be turned away by insurance companies or charged more than others. It also reduced the number of those who have no insurance by just 20 million. And
okay.
To
Sean's answer earlier about universal health care, why do you think this country does still to this day, as modern as we should be, as technically speaking, one of the top countries of the world, why we don't have universal health care?
Easy, because of the insurance companies. Because you know what? It's all about this. The rich get rich, and who cares about everybody else? You have to remember, these pharmaceutical companies make millions and millions of dollars all the time. Mm-hmm. And so with this, they feel that, my money's going to some poor soul who can't even afford anything? No, I can't do that. It's all about That's all there is.
But the reason I'm asking is because people don't get it. If people are dying, nobody would be around to buy medicine, right? If we kill out the old people, and we have the young people are not going to buy medicine right now until they get older.
No. But you know what? You don't know. Even young people could get sick. They could have a very horrible disease happen to them, like cancer, heart attacks, this, that, and the other. So, you know, you can't just say, I'm just going to write everybody off. That's unfair. Go ahead, Hava.
Yeah, but, okay, back to Obamacare, Sean Black.
Mm-hmm.
Affordable Care Act, whatever you want to call it. A lot of the power of Obamacare back then, a lot of people lost their benefits. I could relate to that because of my job, I lost my benefits because of Obamacare. But companies like, wait a minute, you could go get your health insurance now? Why should I pay your health insurance? You could go out and get it. Now, it seems like it's going to get a lot more worse. What do you say about the companies now that used to pay or still paying for the employees' benefits? Should they get rid of them and give them Trump Care now? Like, now the mindset is more complicated, and that's why I think a lot of people are getting more upset.
Yeah, and the other thing is also you're noticing a lot more people are becoming much more learned as far as reading up on Obamacare and reading up now on what has been going on with this Trump Care bill. A lot of businesses, especially like smaller businesses, were always wondering, well, if I have to give insurance to my employees, I'm not going to be able to keep my business going, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things, and this is
Sean, as a small business owner, you own a pizzeria. You have employees of 6 people. You're making a decent amount of money, but you can't afford insurance for these guys. Should you be able to pay insurance for them? They'll cause more debt into your pocket. You're not guaranteed to make the same amount of money every week.
I think it's also the mentality of the way society has become, but also at the same time, the way the system is already in place. It doesn't help out the smaller business to be able to do that. I think if we're living in a different time period, I think that if the small businesses actually had the funds to do it, some sort of subsidy coming from the government to be able to pay those in, I think that it would not be a problem. Then you would have much more access to getting health care to those people that are working in a small business. Like you said, the pizzeria that had maybe 10 people working, the guy still has to pay for the oven. He still has to pay for whatever he needs to keep the business running. But also, let's be honest about this. You need healthy employees to work for you.
Exactly.
And if they can't be healthy enough to keep your business up, what's the point in having the business in the first place?
Exactly.
And when you're going through all of this stuff, and all of these politicians keep talking about, well, this shouldn't be the case, it should not be the case, if they all got on the same page and started to pick away at some of the things that we know would work and the things that may not work as well, because I remember President Obama had stated, he himself said, Obamacare is not perfect. Come to the table and we will iron out certain things as we make sure that this is ironed out, get all the kinks out of it, and evolve it over time. There was none of the improve. It was always from the Republican side, let's repeal and replace. Over the last 7 or 8 years did they try to actually repeal it?
They did it like 50 times because let's look at it. And, Sean, like you said about the small businesses, right now with this CARE Act, if it goes – because it's going to go in front of the Senate pretty soon. And if all else fails and this thing goes through, you're right about the small businesses because small businesses are going to suffer greatly because of it. I mean, like you said, you have a small business. If you have like 15 people working for you, you need to cover those 15 people. Now, if they're not covered in like, let's just say 10 of them or 8 of them get sick, you're screwed.
Yep. Especially if you're in the food industry or restaurant industry where you need those employees and you can't just recycle so many people so quick.
They could, and food and, of course, retail, you're going to need your employees. And, you know, you got to keep them covered. But, hey, like this healthcare is going to cost a lot of things. It's going to cause a lot of problems down the line.
Well, Leon Harris just tweeted to me, good show, guys, but my question is, so how long until GoFundMe is our nation's leading healthcare provider?
Well, Leon, guess what? If this thing goes through the Senate, then that's going to be your only option, man. I kid you not. That's the answer I'm giving you.
Well, I don't personally, based on everything that I've seen, from all the upheaval I've seen, I don't think that this bill is going to pass, mostly because of all of the flack that we're seeing. Democrats,
Sean, as always, you're being naive. You're the same person who told me Trump is not going to become president. Boom, look what happened. If this got passed the first time, you're right to a certain degree. It may not pass the second time around. They're going to change it again, and guess what? One extra vote, it will be passed.
No, I'm talking about the way it's currently been.
Because
put in.
You know what? Believe it or not, none of the Democrats, you know, let's look at the political side of it. Do you know that none of the Democrats voted? And you know what? They're standing their ground. But listen to this. Chuck Schumer himself said he's standing his ground. He's not going to, there's no way this bill has to pass through the Senate.
But Cato, isn't there more Republicans in the House
That's what I was about to get to. This is the problem. You have Republicans. Republicans control both the House and the Senate. And you know what? Don't forget, 2018 is right around the corner. We're in May, but 2018, for them, the 2018 season is right around the corner. And the day that bill was passed, the day it passed the House, you know what the Democrats are saying? Okay, we're sitting down and watch. Because you know what? 2018 is coming. The midterm election is coming. And there are many Republicans whose seats are up for grabs. And this thing does not look good for them, to be honest.
And Hot Rod, the one thing that you have to also understand, and the reason why I don't think this is going to pass through the Senate, is because of all of the people that are in those red states that voted for Trump, if this health care bill passes, it is going to damage the people that voted for him.
And that's why I want it to happen. Because like you say all the time, Sean Black, you voted for him, this is what you get. These are the same right now that voted for Trump, they should get punished for this.
Hot Rod,
this is what they want, this is what they
get. I couldn't agree with you more, because you know what? Let's look at those red states that voted for him, all those people who voted for him, and you know what? Like even with this happening, they ran a survey of, they were asking people on the street, and I'm sure you've seen the video, do you regret voting for Trump? And majority, like I'm sorry to bring the race card up, but the majority of them were white, who said, yes, he's doing a great job. And you have some of them who are sitting there shaking their heads like, I can't believe I voted for this fool.
Well, here's another stupid question, which we know the answer to it already. Do you think they wanted to get rid of Obamacare so badly because he was black?
Of course. Come on now, listen, look, let's break it down. For the past 8 years that President Obama was in office, look at how much the Republicans tried everything to vote against everything that he put out there. The Affordable Care Act, when that went out in 2010, you should have seen them outside of the Capitol. They were chanting racial slurs. They were chanting some hateful messages. And they just wanted to destroy his legacy. And having this Health Care Act was something that Obama felt that he should have passed. Because why? Don't forget something else, too. Ted Kennedy was fighting for it as well. Many people were fighting for that Affordable Care Act. And President Obama passed it into law. And they felt the need to destroy his legacy. They said, we're going to repeal it. Or we're going to fight against it. We're going to repeal this thing. We're going to repeal it.
Okay, Sean. And the craziest thing about this whole deal is the fact that Mitt Romney, who was governor of Rhode Island, actually had the same ideal and made it law in Rhode Island. When President Obama made the national...
Sean, excuse me, Sean. He was governor of Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, I should say.
And
he made it law there. And then when President Obama decided that model works, we're going to make this a nationwide thing. One, because he's a Democrat, and two, there is always a race card underneath all of the stuff that has happened with President Obama, and that's been almost proven through some of the comments and some of the things that have happened over the years. That's the reason why we're talking about this whole thing now. A lot of the things that have been going on right now have come down to an African-American president who was a Democrat, who put in a lot of protections and a lot of laws in here, who has a degree in law, and basically did as much as he could to future-proof this bill against these kinds of things. And President Trump has come in, and a lot of the protections that have been there as far as the checks and balances of other things, not just health care, but the EPA and all of the other things that you would hear about that are actually protecting the American public are slowly being degraded. We talked a little bit earlier about net neutrality. That's being taken apart as well. So that's one thing.
Okay. Well, let's go to our next topic right now. And we know it's only the three guys that have no females. I think I'm going to get you guys' point of view on this. Of interracial dating. The reason why I'm bringing this topic up, because I remember I posted something on social media about Serena Williams. Yes, she's pregnant. God bless her. And she's dating or married to a white man. And in the article, which was fake news, but a lot of people respond to it, how white men treat her differently compared to black men. And, of course, it caused a big uproar on social media. How white men treat black people better than black men. Well, there's three black guys. My question to you, K.O., first.
Yeah.
In interracial dating, and do you believe in most of the hype about that that white men treat black women better than black men?
Well, I'm just going to say this, and I say this as a black man, and, you know, I'm glad you brought up this subject. Listen, as you know, I was in an interracial relationship many years ago. Now, when it comes to treatment, it's like this. Basically, for me personally, I don't see race. These days, you can't help who you fall in love with. You can't help with, you know, who you're meant to be with. Because, listen, as a black man, what I want in a woman, I'll find it in a black woman. If I don't find it in a black woman, I could find it in a white woman. If I don't find it in a white woman, I could find it in a Latino woman. If I don't find it in a Latino woman, I'll find it in an Asian woman. Now, the question that you're asking, listen, a man is going to be a man no matter what. Whether he treats his woman good or bad, he's a man. As to say that white men could treat a woman better than a black man, if that's what you're thinking about, if that's all you see is race, then you don't know what the hell you're talking about, because a white man could be with a black woman and treat the woman like garbage. You understand what I'm saying? It's just the same thing as, you know, me being a black man and I'm with a white woman, I could treat the white woman like garbage, or I could be treating her good, or she could be good to me. You know, if I'm with someone of a different race and she's good to me, I'm not going to look at it and say like this, oh, she's treating me better than my black women. I can't say that.
Okay, let me do the role first. You date a black woman, you date a white woman.
Right.
Did they treat you the same, or you got treated differently from dating a white girl or from dating from a black girl?
Well, I could say like this. The experience of the treatment was... Okay, it was different in terms of, you know, communication and also to understanding each other. That was different because, like I said, I've dated multiracial. I've dated white and I've dated Latina and I've dated as well as black. So there were differences in the way that the relationship went. There were different directions that the relationship happened. When I dated white, everything was good. But we were both young and, you know, the relationship ended. But, however, when I dated a fellow black woman, the relationship was different. And, you know, there was a lot of things going on. And the same thing when I dated a Latina, it was different.
Notice you said different, not better. See,
It's like this. Like different women. This is the thing. When it comes to a race of women, you have to understand the values and some of the things that they have, like certain habits that they have.
I'm sorry,
you know,
you're contradicting yourself because
no,
the key word
I'm not
different. No, you're saying different, like different in a good way or different in a bad way. When you say white woman, you date them, but the black and a Latina, when you say different, it sounds like different, but with a headache or with a baggage.
In a good way. I'm saying in a good way because you know what it was? It's like this. When I dated white, we both would sit down and talk. She would introduce me to her way of thinking, and I would introduce her to my way of thinking. Like, we would be able to share things together. With a black woman, you know, being that, you know, with black women, don't forget different cultures. You have black American, you have black West Indian, you have black European, you have African. I'm not even going to say African, but you know, different. You understand different nationalities in Africa. With the black women that I've dealt with, I've dealt with black American women. And a black American sister might have a different way of thinking than a sister from the Caribbean islands, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, they have different cultures. And I learned from that. And with the Latina, you have Puerto Rico, you have the Dominican Republic, but, you know, the girlfriend that I dealt with were Puerto Rican. And they introduced me to the Puerto Rican culture. So it kind of showed me a multicultural thing when it came to interracial dating.
Okay, so basically, ladies and gentlemen, K-Dawg saying that he's an international hoe. So that's what he's saying right now.
Of course.
I let it be known. So I hope you understand what I meant, you know, by learning different cultures.
I'll get back to you in a minute, K-Dawg. But Sean, how different was from you dating a black man compared to dating a white man?
Very funny. I can tell you this. I can only go based on my experience. I've dated a woman that is of Panamanian descent, of Jamaican descent, Costa Rican descent, African American. I've never dated a white woman, and it's not for a lack of looking or whatever is the case. It's just the circumstances just didn't happen. When K-Dawg says different, the definition he's looking at is it's not the same. It's not bad or good. It's just a completely different experience.
And
every woman that you date or anybody that you've been in any relationship with brings their own perspective to the relationship based on their own experiences, based on upbringing, family life, attitude, education,
exactly
what they're looking for. Any of those factors into who that person is and what they're looking into. So it's kind of hard to look at it and say, well, I dated this Jamaican woman, and then I got tired of such and such happening, and then I dated this Italian woman, and it was better because she treated me better or different. it doesn't make a difference. They're jerks.
No, it doesn't.
In every race, creed, color, whatever. But they're also very good people in those races, and that's the tricky part about dating, is because you don't know based on what you're looking for, because you're bringing your own baggage and your own experiences into the relationship, and then that person is doing the same. You have to make sure that you, one, found each other at the right time, and
both of you on the same level.
Exactly. And you may not be looking for the exact same thing, but at the point that you're in that relationship, that other person has to give you part of what you're looking for. And it's never,
the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. It's never 50-50 all the time. You can get 60-40, 70-30. As long as that need is met, no matter what race, creed, whatever,
that's
what it is, and you evolve together as a couple in that relationship and it continues to grow and is healthy, then it wouldn't make a difference what race they're on.
Hold on. I don't think you guys don't understand that. Okay, to every stereotype, there's some truth. For example, me and, of course, my son is black. We was walking with my white coworker, Melissa, last week in the streets. And, of course, you know, Ryan is very funny with everybody. So I'm holding one hand. She's holding another hand of Ryan. So we walking like a family. And the look people had, like, WTF, like, Melissa is very pale white. My son is very black. There's no comparison. That's not the mother. Well, of course, people cannot help themselves but to look. Black man, white woman, black child. On the white people's side, they have questions. But from the black people's point of view, especially a sister, a beautiful woman, look at her, and she rolled her eyes at me. Like, once again, how dare you date a white woman? And we end up with us friends, and you guys see this all the time. And we discuss this when we're with Anisha B.
Yeah.
Sean Black and I, we walk down the street with Anisha B. Oh, this white bitch is with two black guys. So there's always stereotypes, and, you know, we hear this all the time, how white women go after the black man because of the size of the penis. Which, in Sean case, No, we let's be honest. We hear this all the time.
We hear it.
Or the black man dating a white woman because a black man cannot handle a sister. And that's the attitude, a perception we get all the time.
We've heard that a lot. All the time. And you hear
it every time.
It's explained on TV. It's explained in, like, articles and magazines. You hear it on talk shows. You hear it everywhere. It's the same kinds of stereotypes.
You know,
and it's not always the case all the time.
No, it's not always the case. But
they look at
proof to
because,
it. Hold on. Some guys cannot handle, quote-unquote, a black woman.
But you know what it is?
Not a white woman.
But you know what it is, Hot Rod? It's like this. It matters, of course, of the social cycle. Because you know what? It's not just... a black man with a white woman, but also, what about a black man with an Asian woman? What about a black man with a Latino woman? So you see, it's like this. There are different strokes for different folks. Whatever it is that you know like, that's what some people do. But however, you know, for me personally, I don't care about race because, you know what, a woman is beautiful. I can look at a beautiful woman no matter what race she is. You understand? So I have no problem with that. If I see an interracial couple, who cares? If the person's happy with who they're with, hey, power to them. I could care less about that. But however, like, you see in a social circle, like, let's just say, perfect example, you look at the athletes. You understand what I'm saying? The athletes. You look at basketball players. You look at football players. Now, you'll see those black football players or black basketball players, who are they married to? You understand? Right.
Yeah, the American white people, because once again, let's go back to the stereotype, all these brothers, they want to go after these black girls because they can't handle a black girl. And to some degree, the black man will go after the white girl because they can't control the white woman. Some people look at the white woman as that we can't control them.
A lot of that is also availability. When you look at Hollywood and you see African-American actors and actresses and you see them maybe dating a white woman or African-American woman dating a white man, it's not necessarily because they can't handle X, Y, and Z.
No.
It's
all about
because of availability.
The cycle.
Where they are, business they're in. The availability of finding an African-American in their line of work is diminished.
Could be difficult.
Because a lot of them are already married or in other relationships, so that the ones that are free may be the Italian woman that works as a camera person.
Or a producer, the white woman
that's doing something else.
Sean, let's be real. Some people don't see it that way. Understand what you're saying?
I can understand that.
Most black guys go after white women because, once again, they believe the white woman will do what. I hear it all the time. White women will take care of the black man while the sisters, you do whatever you want for the sister.
That's not necessarily so.
I didn't say it was all true. I'm saying what stereotypes the rumors.
Yeah, that's
the
a
black
stereotype.
Sisters, you cannot please them. They're always angry. So us brothers, we go with the white woman because they're easy to please. They will cook for us. They will take care of us compared to the sister. I did not say that's true. But some stories are like that, and they're based on that little story.
Yeah.
That little factor turned into a big factor that other people base on, if you understand what I'm talking about.
Right. Because you know what? Some people, they feel like, let's just say we go somewhere, and, you know, we run into some white girls. Some white women will look at us, and they go crazy. I've experienced it. Whenever I would go somewhere and a group of white girls would see me, they would, you know, want to talk to me. I'm like, oh, okay. I would take it as just a woman. But however, like you said, Harvard, there are stereotypes out there. But like I said, again, with the whole, you know, circle that you're in, if you're in a business circle and let's just say you happen to, You're in business. You know how business people operate. You know, you're in a circle and you happen to meet someone who happens to be of a different race and you hook up. Hey, it happens.
If you want to get the greatest cross section of ideas behind a lot of the stereotypes that are out there, just go on YouTube and just type in a particular stereotype. And there are people that have shows on YouTube that they will run down this race of male or female or this particular type of male or female, and they'll go on and on and on and on about it. So if you don't know what those stereotypes are, you can go ahead and find that. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's how everybody thinks. And I think that in and of itself is the stereotype there.
All right, here's an odd, weird question. Do you think a person like Milton that always call up and talk about white people, do you see him dating a white person?
Oh, boy. Woo. And the room went silent.
Yeah.
No, because
and the room
I'm
went
saying,
silent.
I'm saying that because on the stuff that he said, it's not just a lot of black men, a lot of black people think that way, that statement. About how white people are evil, and when they see an interracial couple, some
they
people
get
disgusted. And I still don't understand why. Like you say earlier, guys, a black and Asian, no problem. Like there's no problem when you see minorities dating one another. Oh, it's very cute. A black and Latino, but once you see a black person with a white person, there's always questions. Like God forbid.
Yeah, some people turn their
God
noses.
Forbid,
they get mad.
Yeah, but God forbid we try to be together, you know. Do we care? Us
no.
Two? No. But let's just talk about the subject because here's the problem. If Sean Black, Anitra B, and the Hot Rod, three people walk together and we get dirty looks for people, that's a problem.
Well, Hot Rod, I've experienced it. All I had was just stares. I remember that. It was just crazy because at the time when I was with a white woman that
I got stared at. I was getting stares. And we noticed that. She noticed. She's like, wow, people are really looking at us. I'm like, yeah, let them look. Who cares? You could stare all you want.
Well,
that's usually where the problem lies, is with the other people and not with the people within the relationship.
Right. And, you know, they're like, oh, let them look.
Yeah, but we, from our era, correct me if I'm wrong, well, Kato probably noticed a little bit more. And in our culture back then, you're supposed to date or marry within your culture.
Right. It was.
If you go, because we're Haitian people, if we got out and dated a Jamaican or a Puerto Rican, we would be cursed out.
Well, for me personally, well, you know, my parents are from Haiti too, and my mother, my family, they don't really care about that. They just care as long as you're happy with who you're with. They don't look at the race or the nationality. They're just like, as long as you're happy as you, who you're with, and as long as the both of you could respect each other's culture, that was the bottom line.
Okay, well, we got 2 minutes left. Sean Black, there's any final thoughts you'd like to discuss?
Well, I'll make it short and sweet, obviously.
Like
whole,
a sex life?
Yeah. This healthcare thing is something that everybody needs to actually pay attention to. And I've said this before on other shows before, but go on the internet, find out how to call to your congressman, to your local senator, and find out, let them know the constituents are not happy with what's going on. Because as I stated before, there's a possibility that 24 million people could lose health care by this time next year.
Excuse me, Sean. 210, you have 2 minutes left. Go ahead, say your statement.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Brother B. And all I'm going to say is revolution. That's all I'm going to say, revolution. Everybody needs to get off that wussy shit. And start revolting. That's all
the revolution will not be televised, my brother.
Listen, it can't be televised. We're going to break the TV.
It's not going to be televised, my brother. The revolution will not be televised.
If Trump gets the net neutrality thing taken care of, it won't be on the internet either.
Yep, it won't be televised. Trust me, the revolution will be televised.
That's why you got to watch the Terminator and see how they communicate in the movie. So we got to replicate that.
That's
how it's going down.
Why do I see Brother B's head on top of Malcolm X's head in that picture with that gun looking out the window? I see Brother B doing that, you know?
I don't need a gun. All I need is a rock.
A rock?
They need the guns because they need the guns because they're scared. Physically, they're scared.
The revolution will not be televised.
All right, we got 60 seconds left. Brother B, will you date a white woman?
Of course. I've done it. Why not? They ain't do nothing.
Was there the difference between a white woman and a black woman, or they all the same shit?
No, I got the same parts.
Yeah.
It don't matter. As long as she can make a good sandwich, we good. Make a good sandwich.
I guess we know how to get to your heart then, huh?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I keep it simple.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Absolute Truth. Right here, I'm the Hot Rod with Sean Black. Brother B, thank you. And Kato, thank you guys.
Always.
And, of course, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
That's
and
right.
To you
happy
guys,
Mother's Day, y'all.
And to you guys, happy motherfuckers, too. Good night, y'all.
Oh, later.
Later.
Peace out.
All yours.